This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Drive out the terrorists. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, May 22nd. Glad you're on board. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump is encouraging Muslim leaders to drive out extremists while also announcing a center focused on terror financing and an arms package.
North Korea today announced a successful launch of an intermediate-range ballistic missile and now says it can reach U.S. bases and Japan.
The White House releases its budget blueprint tomorrow, with the Treasury Secretary preparing remarks about it on Capitol Hill.
And why have to watch out for those free offers from satellite and cable TV providers.
Yeah, this happens a lot, unfortunately, with subscription television and cable, is that in an effort to keep you as a customer, they'll make a promise by phone. And that was the problem with this particular case, is that they made a promise by phone, didn't back it up in writing, and when he finally did get the details, he realized that they were not what he thought they were going to be, and not that great of a deal.
Consumer advocate Chris Elliott explains what we can learn from one man's experience. He's here in about 20 minutes. President Trump is calling on Muslim leaders across the world to confront, quote, the crisis of Islamic extremism. As part of his 9-day overseas trip, he's trying to rally Arab allies to fight terrorism and Iran's influence in the Middle East.
The path to peace begins right here on this ancient soil in this sacred land.
The U.S. and Saudi Arabia announced they're opening a center in Riyadh focused on terror financing and the formation of a military alliance in the Gulf. The U.S. and Saudi Arabia agreed during the weekend to a $109 billion arms package and a further $300 billion in other potential investments.
This region should not be a place from which refugees flee, but to which newcomers flock.
Also, the World Bank announced at an event with the president's daughter and senior White House advisor Ivanka Trump that Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates have pledged a combined $100 million to help women entrepreneurs and small business owners. President Trump continues the Middle East portion of his trip with a visit to Israel today. Among other things, he's looking for a peace deal between Israelis and Palestinians. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Mr. Trump's 2-day visit will include meetings with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. White House aides have played down peace deal expectations. Also, the president may need to address revelations that he disclosed highly classified intelligence Israel obtained about ISIS with top Russian officials without Israel's permission. Israel also has expressed concern about the new arms sale to Saudi Arabia announced over the weekend. A senior Israeli cabinet minister called Saudi Arabia a hostile country. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It is 9 minutes now after the hour. Back to Washington. The White House tomorrow will introduce its budget proposal, one that's expected to call for large cuts to social safety net programs like Medicaid and food assistance, while increasing spending at the Pentagon and on border security. After all the stories about Mr. Trump and Russia over the past 2 weeks, the White House and congressional Republican leaders are eager to show that they can deliver on policy promises. Here's Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse.
Russia is, Putin in particular, is an enemy of free speech, religion, press, assembly. He's the enemy of many of the things that are at the beating heart of America. So we need to be clear that we don't have aligned interests with Russia.
As Mr. Trump continues his 9-day trip overseas tomorrow, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin will testify on Capitol Hill about the 2018 budget plan before the House Ways and Means Committee. The same panel, by the way, will hold a separate hearing devoted to a tax overhaul designed to reduce rates and speed up job growth. It's 10 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
Thanks for being with us. Good Monday to you. As President Trump wrestles with the fallout from his firing of FBI Director James Comey, a congressional election in Montana will test whether it's politically safer for Republicans to be with Mr. Trump than against him. Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Hook paid a visit to East Helena to explore the race this Thursday for the one and only House seat from Montana. Janet, what do we have?
Yeah, Ryan Zinke had held the Montana's only House seat, and when he was picked to join the Trump cabinet, that left Montana without a House member, and they're having a special election on May 25th. And there's a Republican running named Greg Gianforte, who's a businessman, has no political experience, and he's running against a Democrat who also has no political experience, Rob Quist, who is a professional musician. He was the founder of a band that's very famous around the state. So he actually has a lot of name recognition as a musician. Greg Gianforte, on the other hand, has a lot of name recognition because he ran unsuccessfully for governor last year. So it's kind of a head-to-head match between two interesting characters, but it's got a lot of national attention because it's seen as kind of a test of both political parties.
All right, so you mentioned there have been personal attacks, and you've got local issues like public lands policy. So given that we normally say House races come down to local politics, what's the impact of kind of the whole Trump thing here?
The main thing that's interesting about Montana is that politically is that it's very Republican on presidential elections, and so Donald Trump actually won the state by 20 points, big margin in 2016. But at the same time, the governor's race, they reelected their Democratic governor by 4 or 5 points, so that there's this sort of independent streak. So both parties see this as a potential win for them. It's a much more uphill fight for Democrats than Republicans. But as a result, all kinds of national money and political reinforcements are coming in, even if the pitch that the candidates are making on the stump and in their television ads is very personal and parochial.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Hook about her story entitled Montana House Race is Gauge on Trump and Test for Democrats. This is the race to replace Ryan Zinke, the only congressman in Montana who became Interior Secretary. How about Mr. Gianforte here in embracing President Trump and his policies? Has he made that an issue?
Well, this is a really interesting thing, is that Greg Gianforte is really campaigning, strongly identifying with Trump. Because Trump won the state by such a big margin, he figures he can kind of grab onto Trump's coattails. The irony is, when he was running for governor and lost, he kind of had kept his distance from Trump. So it's a little bit of a different tone, and he hopes it's a different outcome.
Is Montana a fair measure of what's happening, say, on the national scene?
Well, you know, every state has its own, and district has its own political dynamics. I don't know, you know, how much of a national message you draw. I do think that if the Democrat wins, that is like, that would be huge. That would be a huge political message.
Yeah.
Just because it's such an uphill fight for him. If he wins, you got to credit not just the fact that he's, you know, a great candidate with a lot of money, but that there's a lot of political momentum behind him and the grassroots Democrats who are coming out to support him.
What's the polling say right now? Is there any?
You know, the polling, there's not a lot of public polling and not a lot very accurate. But there was a consensus in all the strategists that I talked to who've been doing their own polling that they saw it as a single-digit race. Like, Gianforte's up in every poll I've heard anything about.
Okay.
By a margin of as little as 4 and as much as 8 or 9.
Thanks, Janet. Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Hook from East Helena, Montana. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump has closed the first leg of his maiden overseas trip, arriving in Israel this morning after 2 days in Saudi Arabia. And there he delivered a speech about fighting Muslim extremism.
It is only possible if your nations drive out the terrorists and drive out the extremists. Drive them out.
Today, Trump will meet separately with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. Trump will be testing the waters for jumpstarting the dormant Middle East peace process. The White House officials have tamped down prospects for a breakthrough on the trip. Trump's trip will also take him to the Vatican, Brussels, and Sicily. Members of key congressional committees are pledging a full public airing as to why former FBI Director James Comey was ousted amid an intensifying investigation into Russia's interference in the presidential election. Senator Dianne Feinstein of California told CBS News she believes the ongoing probe now includes a question of a possible cover-up.
I know what the president told me when he called to say that he was firing him, and that turned out not to be the reason.
The comments come after a whirlwind week in Washington as reports emerged that Trump told Russian diplomats that his firing of nut job Comey relieved great pressure on him. In what Pyongyang says is the answer to President Trump's policies, North Korea claims it's ready to deploy and start mass producing a new mid-range missile. The missile tested yesterday is capable of reaching Japan and several major U.S. military bases there. The North claims the launch confirmed the missile's combat readiness. The clowns, animal acts, and acrobats of the storied Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus took their final bow at an arena in New York yesterday with a space-themed balancing act, kicking off the farewell performance of the greatest show on Earth after nearly 150 years. More than 250 million people had seen Ringling shows. Drake proved his dominance of the music industry once again by winning a record 13 Billboard Music Awards last night. He edged out the record held by Adele.
I want to say, hold tight, Adele, because when the new team drops, yeah, you'll forward back to get the record back.
Adele won 12 awards in 2012 in the wake of her breakthrough song, Someone Like You.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Jen. It is 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could spend part of your Monday with us. Cable and satellite TV companies are famous for their enticing offers, right? But be sure you understand what you're getting and have it in writing. Here's consumer advocate Christopher Elliott. Chris, why be wary of free offers? Well, one guy really seemed to have gotten a raw deal that you helped.
Yeah, this happens a lot, unfortunately, with subscription television and cable, is that in an effort to keep you as a customer, they'll make a promise by phone. And that was the problem with this particular case, is that they made a promise by phone, didn't back it up in writing, and when he finally did get the details, he realized that they were not what he thought they were going to be, and not that great of a deal in retrospect.
Mm. All right, so they tell this guy, yep, free baseball package, and then I guess what it expired after a certain period. He starts getting charged for it. He tries to cancel, and they say you owe an early termination fee. Did he not read the fine print, or like what went down? Because I know you stepped in there.
Well, no, I mean, he believed what they said by phone, but then they followed up with an offer in writing that just didn't match what they had said by phone.
Oh, okay.
You know, the interesting thing is that companies do record these calls, so they have a record of it. Unfortunately, you don't have the same record of it, and I think that's actually something that needs to be changed. I think if a company is recording you, the technology exists right now to provide you with a recording of that as well so that you know what you said, too. They know and you know. And in this case, they knew what they said, and they also knew that the offer that they ended up giving him was not the offer that he thought it was going to be. It was an offer where the baseball package expired, and then they charged him more, which is, if you're trying to retain a customer, that's the ideal situation. You bait them with something that's going to make them sign, and then you charge them more after a couple of weeks or months.
Yeah.
So what I did was I contacted the company, and it reviewed its phone records and realized that it actually had said something that it didn't follow up with in writing, didn't actually do. And so it ended up fixing it for him and honoring the deal that it said it was going to.
We're speaking with consumer advocate Christopher Elliott. He's written a piece entitled Beware of Free Offers from DirecTV. What about the importance of a paper trail? Can you create one if you're talking to somebody by phone? How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really, really important to have everything in writing because, obviously, as we see in this case, whatever is said by phone, a company does not have to keep its word. But if it says it in writing and you have a copy of it, then you can always go back and remind them of what they said by forwarding the email to the company, and if that doesn't work, to its executive. Mm. And I have the names and email addresses of all the executives on my consumer advocacy website as well, so you can find those there.
Thanks, Chris. Christopher Elliott, consumer advocate, by the way, with regards to this guy's story, he said when he explained the problem to the managers, that did the trick. Kind of went higher level on the food chain. Within 2 hours of sending an email, he got a response from the office of the president, and $190 was credited to his account, and it took place on a Sunday, he says, no less. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, where we use the username at This Morning Show. If you like a little cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter with the username at Gordon Deal. I have Twitter open right now. Be careful, because I do lose my attention and concentration sometimes when I'm tweeting during the show. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is celebrating innovators and job creators in a big way, like up to 40% off business PCs big, even a free 1 terabyte external hard drive with select purchases big. Call 877-BUY-DELL today to connect with a U.S.-based advisor. They're ready to help with tech solutions tailored to your business, like finding just the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, because your hard work is more than appreciated, it's admired. Call 877-BUY-DELL today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Monday, May 22nd. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. In a visit to Saudi Arabia yesterday, Trump urged Muslim nations to fight extremism. The president is in Israel today. North Korea testified another missile. A doctor from Alabama is among three people killed on Mount Everest over the weekend. Ford is reportedly getting rid of CEO Mark Fields. Celtics claw back game 3, still trail the Cavs 2-1. Penguins beat the Senators by a touchdown. And the 67 Corvette that sold at auction for more than $600,000. Hear the care that the owner took of this thing. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, here's something you may not have heard before. A slowdown in inflation over the last couple of months seems to be coming from our smartphones. It's a story by Wall Street Journal economics reporter Ben Lubsdorf. Ben, explain.
Well, Gordon, there's been this slowdown in U.S. inflation over the last few months, which is sort of surprising. A lot of economists, folks at the Federal Reserve, expected that we'd be seeing inflation pick up this year, in large part because unemployment is so low, the labor market is tightening. Instead, inflation, even core inflation, excluding food and energy, has slowed down. And so we've been trying to figure out what's going on here. Is this a sign that the economy is in trouble or what? And it looks like the single biggest cause of this slowdown, accounting for about half of the decline in core inflation since January, is cell phone plans, that the price of a wireless service is falling quite rapidly, down about 13% over the last year.
Wow.
And that's it pulling down the overall inflation index.
Never before in the history of American economics has that phrase been uttered, has it?
Well, you know, cell phone prices, you know, this data series goes back to the late 90s, I think, and early on there were some pretty big, steep declines. As you know, cell phones became more popular and service plan prices came down, but this is weird. This is a 16-year record on declining cell phone plan prices, and it looks like it has something to do with the price war among the big cell carriers and unlimited data plans. You know, all the big ones are now offering unlimited data. Verizon introduced it in February. As it turns out, the Labor Department in January changed how they account for changes in quality. You know, for a lot of things, they adjust the price of things when they can show that there's been a quality change. And they changed how they adjust for data limits. And so when places went to unlimited data, it meant that the price was adjusted down because you were getting more for less. And that it helps explain why we have this huge decline right now in cell phone plan prices.
How about that? We're speaking with Wall Street Journal economics reporter Ben Lubsdorf. He's written a piece entitled How Cell Phone Plans with Unlimited Data Limited Inflation. All right, so I think as somebody pointed out in the story, you can't really do better than unlimited data plans. So what could that do to inflation then?
Well, so if you think this is a one-off, and it looks like it might be, because as you say, you can't do much better than unlimited, then this would be sort of a one-time thing. It would lower the trajectory for inflation over the next year, but you won't have sort of continuously pushing down inflation. That said, there could be more price competition that could push it down some more, but let's assume that it's a one-off. In that case, you have a quandary for the Federal Reserve. If inflation is performing more slowly than you thought, do you still raise rates to control inflation the way you had planned? And I think it's very possible that they will, because, you know, they might shrug this off as a one-off thing, a temporary factor, sort of a quirky thing that doesn't really say much about the economy. But it does give the Fed a little bit of a headache that they have to explain why inflation is slower than they thought, but they still want to raise rates.
All right. So for those of us not well-versed in economics like myself, is there an ideal inflation rate or pace?
Well, the Federal Reserve wants inflation to be around 2% a year. And they were close, but we've been under that level for most of the last 5 years. And the Fed thinks that we're getting close, thinks that inflation is going to move up. They don't want it to get too far above 2%, so they've been very slowly raising rates to control it. Now you have inflation on a somewhat lower trajectory, so that means does the Fed go a little slower? Do they continue to do what they're doing? We're shrugging off again this as a quirk. That's a question they'll have to answer in the coming months.
Thanks, Ben. Wall Street Journal economics reporter Ben Lubsdorf. It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us on this Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, let this be a lesson to all that a heartfelt apology can go a long way towards securing your forgiveness. A fourth grader in Oregon found this out after Governor Kate Brown offered a pardon to the boy named Samuel, who sent her a letter of apology for taking a hazelnut and a pen from the Capitol building. Brown posted a photo to Facebook showing the boy's letter, her response, and the pen and the $1 bill he sent with the note to make up for pilfering the items during a class trip. The boy's note read, "Dear Governor Brown, my class visited the Capitol on April 19th. While we were there, I took a hazelnut and a pen from the Capitol building. These things were not mine, and it was wrong for me to take them. I'm very sorry. I hope you and the people of Oregon can forgive me." That's pretty good. The note Brown sent in response reads, "Samuel, thank you for your note of apology. On behalf of the people of Oregon, I accept your apology and forgive you."
You manned up, huh?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of teacher coaching there, I'm guessing.
Or parents, yep.
Parents as well, yes. You know, kind of got the wording down for him. Okay. Hope the people of Oregon can forgive me.
I like that. And I like that on behalf of the people of Oregon, was forgiven by the governor.
Yes, so that's pardon. Good. So all it took was an apology. Let's let that be a lesson to
that does go a long way. A note for husbands everywhere.
Yes.
Apologies work.
Yes, for sure. Something we know well. And raise up your morning cup of Joe this morning to a tasty act of petty revenge when recently faced with loud and rude people sitting next to him in a coffee shop in Paris. Information security consultant Khalil Sanawi didn't get mad. He got even. According to the Huffington Post, after overhearing that the rude crew had just decided on what to call their new business, he quietly went online and bought up the corresponding domain name.
No way.
Yes.
Stop.
He shared details of this retaliation on Twitter, and his tweet has since been liked and retweeted over 40,000 times. He described this group as really loud and obnoxious, adding that they refused to tone it down when the waitstaff asked them to. He doesn't plan on holding the grudge forever, however, with plans to release the domain, hoping that the lesson was well learned. He refused to reveal its name, however, because that would be giving them too much publicity.
Wow.
That's pretty
cool. I mean, he yanked the rug out from underneath them as he sat alongside them, basically.
Yes, yeah, and they were being super loud and, I guess, you know, high-fiving and just, you know, making a big scene.
Oh, my goodness.
That's pretty cool.
By the way, I was surprised to hear you use the word rude and Paris in the same sentence.
Yes.
It's only my personal experience, and not Paris.
Okay.
In high school, I was with my club soccer team in Germany.
All right.
And we took a one-day side trip to Strasbourg, France. And so we had been told that if you at least try to speak a little French, you know, like the Europeans are very appreciative of your efforts.
Yes.
Not in France, though.
No.
So I try to order French fries, which I think is like a...
That should be an easy one, you would
think. Pommes frites, I think, is,
yeah.
You know, so I tried a pommes frites, and the waiter pretended he had no idea what I was talking about. You know, instead, it's pronounced like pommes frites or something like that. He wanted no part of my effort to speak French.
So it was very disappointing and humiliating because he didn't know what I wanted. And I'm just pointing to it on the menu.
Yes.
He was having none of it. None of it. My memories of friends. 14 minutes now in front of the hour. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Thanks for being with us. Here's something for younger parents or those maybe who have new babies in the house. The American Academy of Pediatrics says kids under the age of one should avoid fruit juice. The previous guidance was to avoid it before 6 months. In addition, the group recommends that older kids should drink it only sparingly. It may not surprise you that researchers strongly suggest that kids eat fruit instead. The explanation is that the whole fruit contains fiber, which slows the absorption of sugar by the body, also makes you feel fuller than juice, which can prevent overeating. This is all tied to America's obesity epidemic. The researchers, in a publication today in the journal Pediatrics, say for older kids who are at a healthy weight, 100% fruit juice is fine in moderation, but should make up less than half of the recommended fruit servings per day. The Centers for Disease Control says that most recently, 60% of kids were still not getting the recommended servings of fruit, which is 1 to 2 cups, depending on age, gender, and level of activity. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
President Trump is now on stop two of his foreign trip, Israel. The two-day visit will include private meetings with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, a wreath laying at the Holocaust Memorial Yad Vashem, and a visit to the Western Wall in Jerusalem. The stop comes after the president's visit to Saudi Arabia, where he called on Muslims to fight extremism.
This region should not be a place from which refugees flee, but to which newcomers flock.
Later this week, Trump will meet with the Pope at the Vatican. A group of graduating seniors from the University of Notre Dame turned their backs on their own graduation ceremony and walked out in protest of Vice President Mike Pence, who delivered the commencement address. Student activist group We Stand For says the protest was against Pence's policies on religion, race, and sexual orientation. Pence said that's not what the administration is about.
This president spoke out against religious persecution of all people of all faiths.
The students left the facility without disruption. A transgender bathroom bill similar to one in North Carolina that caused a national uproar now appears to be on the fast track to becoming law in Texas, though it may only apply to public schools. The Texas House passed the measure last night, months after it sailed through the state Senate. They might look friendly and cuddly, but dramatic video shot Saturday shows a sea lion grabbing and pulling underwater a young girl sitting on a dock near Vancouver. This witness says a family member dove in after her.
I've never seen anything like that. Everyone was just gasping. They were just screaming. Oh, my God. It was pretty crazy.
The girl was unhurt. The girl and her family were apparently feeding the animal breadcrumbs, something that posted signs say is not allowed. Alien Covenant edged out Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 in a weekend space battle at the box office. Ridley Scott's latest Alien film opened with $36 million in ticket sales, and Guardians was close behind with $35 million in its third week of release. Warner Brothers' teen romance Everything debuted in third place with $12 million.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. A Marina Blue 1967 Chevy Corvette Coupe, bought by a Vietnam veteran war hero and maintained by his son, has sold for $675,000 at an Indianapolis auction. The Vet, with 8,500 miles on it, was bought by a guy named Gary Runyon, who deals in rare cars. The Indianapolis Star says Matt Litavsky found it exciting but difficult to park with the car. You see, his father, Keith Litavsky, bought the car after returning from the Vietnam War with two Purple Hearts in the 60s. He cared for it meticulously before dying of cancer in 1993. He kept diaries of its use where he logged each time he started it and the RPMs he hit. Never drove it in the rain, refused to park it in the sun. Even told his kids not to talk to anyone about the car out of fear it would be stolen. Matt, the son, kept up the same level of care after his father passed away. Mr. Runyon, the new car owner, told Mr. Litavsky he would not be selling the Blue Vet and that he could come visit it anytime. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.